He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. He has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Well, that certainly is the truth. Everybody can't always get what they want. Anyway, this is David Stovenel. This is the 7th day of August, and this is a live broadcast, and I welcome one and all of you to call in. The call-in phone number is 608-433-9306, and I'm going to ask a biblical question for the day. If anyone would like to call in and answer this, I'd like to hear a rabbi respond to this. Is Jesus the Messiah that was prophesied by Moses and the prophets? All right, I always begin by just introducing a couple of facts. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com, and there is a just posted article on there I encourage each and every one of you to go to. It's called Every Store is Closed on Market Street, San Francisco. I listened to the video that's attached to that particular article, and there is one store that was identified as being open. So that is in slight error, but a very slight error. Anyway, that's posted, and I encourage you to look at that and read the information available there to see the vast change that has taken place and transpired. And comments in the comments section are extraordinary to read as well. Anyway, this is Operation Restore Christian America is the overall name of this effort. And today's broadcast is titled Isaiah 14, The Abomination of Desolation. I'm starting with verse 12 and going through verse 17 in Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? That's the end of the reading, which is my prayer, because the most pure prayer is reading from the KJV directly. And once again, verse 17, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. Once again, if you go to my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, and read the article, Every Store is Closed on Market Street, San Francisco, there will be a fullness of the impact on the verses that I just read in context. I would also like to thank those veterans in general and Vietnam veterans in particular who responded to my invitation to contact me and talk with me about the institutionalized discrimination that is in place in order that we can form a large enough group to afford to go forward with a class action suit to throw off this tyranny. because tyranny begins with slighting. It started a lot in England, actually. It was a term used when an attacking force came against a man's private property and started smashing away at his castle. It's called slighting the castle. Well, now things have developed with the high technology to where the bad guys, the lowlifes, those that fashion themselves as more intelligent and more beautiful and more worthy than others, that fashion themselves that they deserve to rule over others, are the lowlifes. So that's a term that was used back in England, but now it's called slander. And institutionalized discrimination is malicious, it's vicious, and it's slanderous. And essentially what has taken place is everything anti-Christian has been molded and blended together to attack Christians, genuine Christians. Now, to be clear, first has to be a confusion that's cast into the middle of any discussion about serious subject matter. For example, in America, the big debate is constantly between left and right, between liberal, which is identified with left, and conservative, which is identified with right. Well, that's a false paradigm. That's a false dialectic because it removes Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God, and his true worshipers and those that are obedient to him. That's the right. And on the left are the anti-Christian bigots that hate Jesus Christ and his worshipers and followers. So that is a clarification in terms of when people are constantly flim-flamming you in order to try to squeeze a vote out of you and money out of your pocket, to describe themselves as either a liberal who loves everyone and the conservatives hate everyone, or the conservatives love everyone and the liberals hate everyone. And that flim-flam has to be repudiated. It has to be understood for what it is. It's a flim-flam. Anyway, the call-in number, I'll repeat this throughout the show because this is a new time frame for the broadcast over the last couple of weeks, is 608-433-9306. The subject matter is about Lucifer having a place in the heavenly realm, in the spirit world, with God and all the holy angels. But he fashioned himself as being better. Pride. It's about pride. In other words, Lucifer conducted the first pride fest, the first pride event. And as we discover from what I read from the scriptures in Isaiah 14, he got cast out. He became a lowlife by force. He was no longer permitted to be in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. In terms of the liberal versus conservative flim-flam, never-ending debate where many, many thousands and thousands upon thousands of people build their careers over a very narrow number of words because they get so good in their vocal inflections and their tone of voice that they sound convincing when all they're doing is repeating the same nonsense over and over, that draws you away from the truth that is in Jesus Christ alone. Every other truth is only quasi-truth, partial truth. Anyway, there are differences in the structure of the liberal thought patterns and actions and the conservative thought patterns and actions. There's no question about that. So it's plausible to have exchanges and discussions and to write and read books about liberalism or conservatism in order to try to develop at least some thought patterns that have to do with what liberalism is or what conservatism is. Anyway, yesterday I bought a copy of the Des Moines Register and looked through it. And I found something that was buried deep within that I found interesting and should appeal to those that are fans of conservatives and conservatism. As surprising as that came to me, but it was buried deep within the Des Moines Register. And I'm going to read it. It's a brief article. And it's by John Hendrickson. And he's a guest columnist on the opinion pages. And the title of his article is Herbert Hoover Was Defender of the Old Order. President Herbert Hoover led a remarkable life that was based upon public service, humanitarianism, and a belief that America is an exceptional nation. Hoover is often remembered for both his exceptional career as a mining engineer, his humanitarianism, and countless acts of charity. From a political perspective, Hoover's legacy is dominated by the Great Depression, and he is often viewed as a failed president. Nevertheless, what is forgotten is Hoover's contribution to political philosophy as a defender of American constitutionalism and conservatism. Herbert Hoover first outlined his political philosophy in 1922 in the book American Individualism. Hoover wrote, "American individualism, not only to explain the principles that made the United States an exceptional nation." You'll have to bear with me while I locate the next page. This is buried deep within. "But also as a defense against totalitarian ideologies such as socialism." Based upon his experiences during the Great War and his extensive travels as a mining engineer, Hoover witnessed firsthand various political and economic systems across the world. American individualism defined what made the United States so different from Europe or other nations. Hoover also understood the threat posed by social philosophies or ideologies that were arising in the aftermath of the Great War. In American Individualism, Hoover explained the philosophic, spiritual, economic, and political grounds which made up what he labeled the American system of liberty. At the heart of this was the principle of American individualism, which he defined as the source of human progress, that each individual shall be given the chance and stimulation for development of the best which he has been endowed in the heart and mind, It is the sole source of progress. At the center of American individualism was the idea of equality of opportunity. Hoover's notion of equality of opportunity was central because it meant that Americans, as a result of our liberty and the Constitution, would allow people to develop their own abilities. Hoover's ideas were influenced by the philosophy of President Abraham Lincoln. They also reflected his own life as an orphaned boy who worked hard and became a successful engineer and public servant. In response to President Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal, Hoover became the principal voice of conservatism. Hoover believed that New Deal liberalism was a threat to constitutionalism. In 1934, Hoover published The Challenge to Liberty, a conservative defense of constitutional government and a warning against what he described as New Deal regimentation along with the various poisonous ideologies of socialism, communism, fascism, and Nazism. Hoover argued that New Deal liberalism was undermining American constitutionalism and liberty. Further, the New Deal was a radical departure from constitutional government, which led directly to the growth in the size and scope of the federal government at the expense of the states and the people. Hoover argued that constitutional government did not need to be jettisoned as a result of the Great Depression. Senator Robert A. Taft of Ohio described the challenge to liberty as a thorough expression of the essential principles of American government. In reviewing Hoover's book, one columnist wrote that Mr. Hoover defends the old order and described him as the high priest of the conservative tradition. Hoover stated that a conservative is one who desires to retain the wisdom and experience of the past and who is prepared to apply the best of that wisdom and experience to meet the changes which are inevitable in every new generation. Hoover is a forgotten conservative statesman whose philosophy and ideas can still serve as a guide for the nation today. Hoover was often a voice in the wilderness, especially during the New Deal era, as the nation embraced progressivism. Hoover never tired of defending the American system and the Constitution, which he described as the Ark of the Covenant of our liberty. In reflecting on Hoover's conservatism, presidential historian Richard Norton Smith wrote that none has more relevance to our own time than Hoover's role as a philosopher of modern conservative thought. That's the end of the article, and after the end of it, there's an addendum that says, John Hendrickson serves as policy director for Iowans for Tax Relief Foundation. And I found that to be a rather extraordinary article because the liberal onslaught, I should say the totalitarian onslaught under the name of liberalism is so pervasive now that articles like that are almost non-existent, even in the alternate media. Oh my God, I just said it, didn't I? Even in the alternate media, there are very few voices that reflect reality of the people that were champions of honest, legitimate, constitutional government and having public servants instead of tyrants. Because in the name of democracy and in the name of liberalism is the way that we have gotten to this largely fallen state, as can be seen very clearly just from walking down Market Street in San Francisco. There's a clarity now for anyone that cares to look and to listen. But does that mean that conservatism is on the right? No, it does not mean that. Jesus is on the right. And what I'm speaking of here, I'm not trying to mix two things together, because political issues, there's a framework for political discussions. It would be appropriate to talk about the contrast between liberalism and conservatism if it was framed at the outset of the exchange or the delivery of the material to say this is a discussion about political issues. But as a Christian, it's necessary to be clear in describing that there are two parts to law. And there has never been any kind of an organization whatsoever where rules were not made, where laws were not made. And with the advent of Jesus Christ, there entered into the world the main part of law, the spirit of the law. Because up to that time, the Jews were applying the letter of the law only. The spirit of the law did not matter. And he was standing right in front of them in perfect truth. And he had to endure the cross. Now, God's larger plan allowed this to transpire so that a Savior would exist. That's why I go back to this question that I asked. Is Jesus the Messiah that was prophesied by Moses and the prophets? The call-in number is 608-433-9306. I'd certainly welcome calls regarding the information that I disseminated last broadcast on Friday, part 7, about John Quincy Adams' letters on Freemasonry, and where I brought to the conclusion of that series, which should be listened to, and it will be in the archives, on genuinechristianitynow.com. It's called Letters on Freemasonry. It's John Quincy Adams, Letters on Freemasonry, Part 7. But I drew the conclusion after describing how an officer of the law named William H. Bonney, alias Kid Antrim, alias Billy the Kid, went from being an authorized law enforcement officer to being morphed into one of the major outlaws during the late 19th century. And how did that transpire, that he went from being an officer of the law, where there was gunfire exchanged and people were killed, to being an outlaw? Who decided that that change of venue, that change of position and disposition? They were called the regulators. So anyway, I went from there, and I brought it up to our modern times. This is essentially what progressivism, how it stains and poisons an entire society eventually. I brought it up to the Vietnam veteran combat infantry man, and how 80% in code, on the records, 80% are slandered, vilified, and demonized, encoding on the record. It's called the SPN code. It's a number, and there's an entire list of SPN code numbers that identifies negative characteristics of 80% of the veterans from the Vietnam War and from the Vietnam era. And obviously that is when the lowlifes, the Lucifer worshipers, the Satanists, were just getting started with demonizing and undermining and trying to destroy everything about America that is good and right and constitutional and just. Billy the Kid, on the run after being sworn in as a law enforcement officer until he was killed. According to the narrative, according to the court historians, he was ambushed in the middle of the night in someone's home. So things like John Dillinger wasn't the first street execution in America after the FBI got enhanced enough to where making arrests was no longer exciting enough, and the FBI had to make a name for itself like Lucifer. And now the FBI is in, they're in the deep end of the pool, let's put it that way. And Trevor Aronson did a talk where he described how the FBI war planners, let's call them war planners, because essentially that's what they promote, is violence and death and war and enslavement and incarceration of people that otherwise would be innocent if they were just left alone and not violated. Anyway, Trevor Aronson gave a TED talk where he described how FBI employees, FBI agents, would identify someone that was not well off, out of work, mentally ill as a result of drug use, several different situations that he identified where the FBI would locate one of these people, talk that their victim into doing a terrorist act or crime, and then arrest that person after they convinced the victim to perpetrate a crime. Think about the depth of the depravity of the Luciferians here, of the left wing, left hand path, anti-Christian bigots. Because you see, with Jesus, it's about truth. You do not lie to someone and convince them to blow up a building or something. You do not do that. That's anti-Christian bigotry. That's over there on the left, not according to me, according to the scripture. You can read the Old Testament, you can read the New Testament, and you will discover that the right-hand path is the path of righteousness. In terms of logical thought, is what I'm talking about. Logical, linear thought. No circular logic here. Christianity is about you're born, your test begins, at the end of that test, you die, and after that comes the judgment. Within Christianity, there are many religions that teach other philosophies to where if you're a bad guy and kill someone, then you come back as a bug or a dog or a horse or something, which is ludicrous. But anyway, linear logic has the right hand, the people that are aspiring to righteousness and goodness and decency and obedience to Jesus Christ, obedience to God the Father through Lord Holy Ghost. Because the scriptures declare that on your own, you just can't do it because there is not one that is righteous. So this is important to understand how, going way back to Billy the Kid, how he was convinced to be a law enforcement officer of the law. There are several articles on my website that deserve to be carefully studied, carefully researched, and also beyond that, the contrast between Jesus and Satan is that Jesus is a shepherd of sheep. Sheep follow Jesus. And Satan is a shepherd of the goats. Now goats, see, this is where it's important to not mix a political discussion with a Christian message that comes directly from the scriptures, because goats, quite frankly, are the rugged individuals. So you see, even with Hoover's books, and I'm sure they're very compelling, but rugged individualism is about goats. It's not about sheep. As a matter of fact, the derogatory term since the internet went widespread is sheeple. Almost all of the people in the alternate media love the term sheeple, because that will disconnect you in part from the study of scriptures, from wanting passionately to know Jesus' heart and mind and soul so you could be more like him and more obedient to him. In other words, a follower. Now the goat, on the other hand, if a goat is left to its own devices, it is almost impossible for that goat to not go where he should not go, or she should not go, either one. I had a friend years ago that lived on a farm, and he said, I have to get rid of the goats. I said, why? What do you mean? Don't they keep the weeds down? He said, yeah, but look up on top of the barn. And he had a barn that had a wooden roof, and that goat had enough traction. It was a hip roof, what's called a hip roof barn. So there are different levels of pitch or slope on it. And one of those is such an extraordinary pitch, you just have to scratch your head and go, how did it do it? But there it was at the very pinnacle, at the very peak of the barn. He said, it's going to walk around up there and poke holes in my barn roof. So you see, goats do, they're destructive. They go wherever they want, whenever they want, and do whatever they want. Well, when it comes to the word freedom or liberty, that becomes a big question. Is freedom conservative or is that liberal? Liberty and liberal sound quite like the same message or the same word, very close to the same word. So once again, it's necessary that the letter of the law and the spirit of the law are both considered in order to have integrity in your thoughts and in your actions. Otherwise, if you go with the liberal progressive left, which now largely identifies as Democrats, I'm sure there are Democrats that are absolutely heartsick with what they see, what would be called the old order Democrats. They're no doubt heartsick because they find conservatism of being repulsive because, for example, what would be one of the most conservative things that could ever have been done by anyone in this nation? Well, obviously, ending a war as quickly as possible would be considered or perceived by most people, not all, because there's room for discussion about it, but two bombs were dropped on Japan, and it ended the Second World War, according to the court historian, This Week in History, actually. So that's an important factor in all this, that you, as soon as you start untangling the mishmash of all of the language that all of the people that want more power over you, whether they be lawyers or auctioneers or bankers or politicians or rabbis or priests or Buddhas or, Hindu, whatever, anyone that wants a nicer, softer life than you and wants to extract power from you, wants to extract labor from you, wants to extract paper power from you called money. All of those people groups have a discussion that sounds convincing and they tie you down. They tie you down to their enslavement system with a couple of different words, either conservative or liberal, either law-abiding or outlaw. And quite frankly, the law can be manipulated and molded to make someone, even Jesus Christ, guilty if the system is corrupt enough. Now, what will transpire after in San Francisco as things develop with Market Street? Market Street was one of the most fantastic economic centers as far as a street goes in any major city in America for decades. So what's next? And will it infect other places? Well, obviously it will have an effect. Whether it infects other places and liberalism, progressivism continues to accelerate, which a lot of people are very convinced it's already too late for any restoration or any remedy. But what happens is when there's a decline in the cash flow, then taxes are radically increased. I didn't say taxes are increased after great deliberation. I said taxes are radically increased. So the Luciferians smell blood in the water and they love to destroy things. At a certain point, they're junkies about destroying things. They have to, there's a compulsion that causes them to keep destroying things because of the dynamics that they serve and believe in, of the Savior they believe in. They believe that destruction is good, which it is not. Obviously, there are places, there are buildings that are not repairable, that have to be destroyed because they are not able, they are, it is not cost effective by any measure to restore certain places. Well, if you go to genuinechristianitynow.com and you read the article that I have mentioned about the San Francisco, the video from there, it's titled, Every Store is Closed on Market Street in San Francisco. There's a description about why that is. And that description even references Isaiah 14. But the dynamic is that those that have committed crimes have a compulsion to commit ever larger crimes because they enjoy it. It's called Schadenfreude in German. They love to destroy and harm people. It actually becomes a part of their religion. At first, they can. So anyone can blunder into a mistake. Anyone can do that. Blunder into an error and try to cover it up. And I'll give you an example. I'll go back to a veteran. I had a long discussion with him. And he was very pleasant to talk with. And what had happened when he was first in the service for a short period of time, he had caught a bad ear infection. It could have been from whatever it was. He didn't describe exactly if it was exposure to cold or heat or some kind of a parasite or what, but he had an ear infection, so he went on sick call and was treated with some medication and said, take this antibiotic, whatever. And what happened was he got worse, and he was actually getting dizzy and falling over. So he went back to sick call, and he was seen by the same medical personnel, and what this young man that was providing his care decided was that his eustachian tube was occluded, and there had to be a slight operation. So he did an operation, and the man lost all of his sense of balance. And he said he was sent by his commanding officer to go back to sick call because he obviously had a problem yet. And what had happened was right from the start, and I don't remember, this is years ago this man told me this. He was in the hospital at the time. I don't remember specifically the details of each event when he went to sick call. But the last time he went, the caretaker, alleged caretaker, diagnosed him as being mentally ill and did a lobotomy on him to cover up his bad medicine, his surgery that caused him more problems than he had when he had the initial infection. That's progressivism as one example of one man whose life was destroyed as the result of someone that wanted to protect his own image and grow in his career to be have a stature, much like Lucifer did. And I'm not demonizing people that are in medical care. My older sister was a neonatal clinician until she retired recently, and I worked in a hospital out in Philadelphia while I was in the Navy. I have a high degree of respect for people that are not on a, not in the fast lane of their own success and do deliberate, careful work at caring for people when people are ill and need help. It is a tragedy of immense proportions when someone that purports to be caring for someone sends them to have the equivalent of ice picks hammered into their frontal lobe in their brain to cover up a blunder that they performed in an operation. I won't mention his name out of respect to him. Anyway, the call-in number is 608-433-9306, and I'm going to read some of the other titles of interesting videos and articles that have recently been posted on my website in order to try to convince you to go there, because they are contemporary. Many of them are contemporary items. And this broadcast is posted there at the end of the broadcast, which can be accessed throughout the week. Anyway, at genuinechristianitynow.com. Here are some titles of other articles. Of course, the main one I want you to look at now so that you get a picture of what America is becoming like with progressivism and liberal Democrats gone wild, basically. Every store is closed on Market Street in San Francisco. That's on the news side. It does contain a video attached to the news article. mRNA jabs, COVID jabs, found to spread from vaccinated to unvaccinated via aerosols. Bidenomics, selling bull manure. Data analysis, increase in miscarriages and stillbirth directly linked to COVID-19 vaccines. Efret Finnegson, catastrophic risks of solar geoengineering. Very important article. Woke religion spawned in the pits of hell, warns Reverend Kraft. Trump indictment, a naked threat, an act of intimidation. And one more video. Traditionalists are Protestant. Now, I want to mention, actually reiterate what I was describing last week in great detail. And there is an About Us button on genuinechristianitynow.com. And I'm wanting emails from veterans, whether you're a Vietnam veteran or not, is beside the point. This has saturated primarily all veterans now, but all of society in general, but veterans in particular, and become involved in the class action lawsuit that I'm leading the effort on starting here. Because of the institutionalized discrimination that is contained within official records, each and every one of you that are still active duty, all police officers, all Secret Service, you're all captured in this net of this 80% negativity in terms of your records without your knowledge, and it's called the SPN code for Army members as at the time of the Vietnam War. Now, you must understand how resourceful Lucifer-worshipping goats are. They probably have changed that designation two or three or four or five times since then. But I'm tying this down to a specific time and a specific people group, the ones that were discriminated against the most and continue to be discriminated against the most, which are my people group, Vietnam veteran combat infantrymen. So anyway, if you're a veteran, if you're a police officer, if you're in civil service, undoubtedly it saturates civil service because they can't have any civil service agent exposing things without being severely punished one way or another of what you are required to do in betrayals, several different types of betrayals against the American people. So anyway, once again, your response last week, I'm in talks now with people, and this is moving forward. And for those of you that have proof, this is the ones that I'm wanting the most. For those of you that have proof in writing, in your official documents of discrimination against you, and you are soundly convinced of it and can convince me of it, that you have been discriminated against. As I said earlier, this garbled up mishmash of a lot of different things, a little constitution here, a little bit of the Sigmund Shlomo Freud fraud blended in with something constitutional, and then a law is made, and then this mishmash goes over here, and then what you end up with is, oh yeah, that veteran over there, his DD-214 says he's a psychotic madman, only they put it in this Freudian gibberish. Now, Kevin McDonald did a lot of work on this subject matter, and here was one of his expressions that he said about Freudism. He said the reason he was able to do that, to perpetrate that whole operation really, was because he made it sound so plausible. See, as soon as someone can convince you that they're right, that they're superior to you, that they have extraordinary abilities and knowledge and skills and education and wealth, whatever descriptor you want to use, and you believe them, and then they say, well, you're sick. You're sick. You see, because there was, in 1958, there was a book written, a well-researched book called The Naked Communist. W. Cleon Skousen wrote it, where he went into great details of how the subversives that wanted to overthrow and overturn our constitutional government, and they're still in their effort to do so, how they would transfer police powers to a doctor, because you see, doctors are so much more kind and comparing and compassionate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Someone that would take the equivalent of an ice pick and hammer it into someone's frontal lobe is not a nice person. Did that happen once? Did that happen five times? How many how many honorable veterans were lobotomized in that manner. And this is just one of their nefarious, vicious methods of operation to slight veterans, to cause veterans physical harm in order to have more power and wealth in their profession of destruction. Freudism is not defensible. Now, as much as I don't like L. Ron Hubbard, his operation, and he has the big shiny cross on top of the big building out in California that causes people to let their guard down somewhat, as much jibber-jabber as he presented and deception that people still believe, and as powerful as that operation has grown, that operation did one good thing. It's like the old broken clock, right? Twice a day. But they came out strong against psychiatry, calling it the ultimate betrayal, which it is. Psychiatry is the ultimate betrayal. Parents, don't send your kids to the psychiatrist. Find out if your public indoctrination center has psychiatrists on staff there, because they probably do. We're way, way down the river now with all this terrible stuff, but there is a pushback now. Incidentally, I always try to say this is a broadcast for remedy. I'm going to offer a remedy for, as a suggestion for anyone that has worked for me. It has worked for me, and I'm not saying it'll work for you, but it worked for me, and it's very inexpensive to try, and it does no harm. It's called Black Bloodroot Drawing Salve. For those that are out in the sun, that work in the sun or did too much sunbathing and get basal cell carcinoma, skin cancer, this is a salve that you merely apply it to the skin cancer where a pimple-like lesion opens up and it doesn't heal over a course of a few days. You put this on there and it draws out the cancer. It's a cancerous, non-metastasizing cancerous sore. And this black bloodroot drawing salve. That's a little suggestion. Take it or leave it from me. It works for me. I had already had three operations for basal cell carcinoma. After I discovered this, I haven't had to have another one, because it's a matter of using this salve to draw the poison out, to draw the cancer out. So that's a bit of remedy toward the end of the broadcast today. And please do keep it up, veterans. Get your courage up. I know you had a lot of courage when you were young, and you're kind of concerned that Uncle Sam might snap your pension and all that. This is way more important than whether Joe Biden snapped your pension or not. This is about our entire society going down the tubes if we don't stand against this tyranny. Ladies and gentlemen, visit genuinechristianitynow.com. There are always articles posted there and videos that are timely and important. And I thank you for listening for today's broadcast. And I'll see you Wednesday again.